Good morning and shalom. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We have come a long way in understanding the word of God and what God says concerning the community of faith and staying together. Here, we want to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, and we want to deal with the first 11 verses today. And the main objective in this one, we will focus our attention on how to deal with marriage issues and singleness or singlehood issues in a culture that favors sexual immorality. We will attempt to see how this culture affects our lives and ministry today. We'll also discuss what marriage is in God's point of view. There are at least some few, about 4 points or four pillars that supports or holds a godly marriage on earth, including the marriage of Jesus Christ and his church, is still held by four pillars. The church will also be considered, will be challenged to list what are the types of marriages that we may know today. In this short time, we want to really see or understand how a married couple could increase a chance of remaining holy in a culture that favors sexual immorality today. Is it possible for a marriage to continue existing today? This is what Paul is dealing with here. And we also see why Paul really favored the singlehood or the singlehood of a married status in this kind of immoral society. So Paul, at the end of the day, he seemed to really favor the singlehood status. These people had written a letter to Paul, and they wanted to hear what Paul is to say. There was a lot of the culture of this city, the Corinthian city, was sexualized. Sexualized is that culture that favor or that keep on talk about, and it permits sexual immorality. It actually favors. There were some thousand prostitutes, female and male prostitutes, that were living in the city. They had a big temple on an upper hill. And every morning or every time a ship would come to dock, they would come out of the hill with lights and go all over to those other places. And so it was a spectacular thing. Everybody would see them descend from the hill, and they were going to the harbor, of course, to look for money. They were prostitutes, but there was a temple and everybody knew about it. And so the question is, when somebody turned to Jesus Christ, what are some of the way a leader can help this church? At least there are three responses or reaction to this. One, on one extreme end, there is the reaction or the response where the leaders of the church will tell everybody it's good not to touch a woman, it's not good to have sexual relation with a woman. And many seems to have this kind of a view. And so the Corinthians church had talked about this, and this is a control kind of life. You're controlling and saying, do not, you restrict, and you say you should never have sexual relationship. Of course, it is meant to help the church, but it's a controlled one. Did Paul have a controlled one? Paul did not have a controlled one. We will see. Number two, on the other extreme end is where the church leader give church freedom. They do what they feel it's good for them. Whether they can do it or not, the church leader does not speak about it. But the middle one, which is the church-driven culture, is where, and the one that is Paul is really favoring here, is where the church leader gives principle. This is the principle driven, the spring, you know, the principle centered. So the principle centered leadership is where now the leader gives principle truths. Now this is where you give is it that you should not have sexual relationship with any man or with any woman? Yes, and this is how Paul starts it. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relation with a woman. You see, that's a statement that Paul says for the matters that you wrote to me about. It's good that you don't have sexual relationship. Now, this statement could also mean that any man could not have any sexual relationship with a woman, any woman. But is it any woman? Is it any man? You see, the control is where you just speak about it and you don't qualify what you are saying. You don't say, which man am I talking about should not have sexual relationship? Which woman? Now, when you leave it as it is, as verses one, it becomes control. But it is not control for Paul, because Paul now takes time now to qualify, to say, we have several men, we have married men, and we have, now for married men, is it, does this statement hold true? For singles, this statement hold true. In the church at Corinth, it had come to a point that it was a statement for everyone. But now Paul, coming now to principle-centered church or leadership, says, yes, it is good for a man not to touch or to have sexual relationship with a woman. But you see, when you put but, it negates the first statement. Or it qualifies the statement, or it adds more value, or it gives the first statement a direction that you'd be able to help. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relation with his wife. Now he comes now to give principle. Now, principle number one is that I'm not talking about every man and woman. Let me talk about the married. The married should have sexual relations with his own wife, not with any other person. He qualified a man, it's a husband, but you are wife only. And each woman would have his own husband. So this woman, he says, is about the wife. So he talked about the one, the own, his own husband, his own wife. The husband, then he goes on and says, the husband should fulfill his marital duties to his wife, and likewise the wife to his husband. In fact, he says, not only that she should not touch a woman, they should have sexual relationship, but they should even have it more, and that marital relationship should be fulfilling for the man and for the wife and for the husband. He changes for man and the woman for wife and husbands. Then he continues, talks about how this couple can remain true in such a culture that sexual morality is favored. These now are some of the rules. Do not, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields his wife. So he's still giving more direction that the body of a man belongs to the wife, and the body of a wife belongs to the husband, not a male and woman. He's no longer talking about a male and a woman now. He has now qualified what male and woman is talking about. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then to come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. He said, where we have, because of the lack of self-control, even in a family now, even for a spouse, don't separate for too long. Do not deprive each other, except when you are praying, and it must be in a mutual. You must have agreed this. I say this as a concession, not a command. Now, verse 8 is what now I need to qualify, that Paul here was not giving a command. Now, the church at Corinth seemed to have given a command, and that's now the difference. Paul is saying, I'm giving a concession. I am giving a suggestion. I am giving a way out. I'm giving a principle, a truth that you can apply. I'm not giving a command. I'm not also leaving it that way. I'm giving a principle. It's a concession. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God, and one has his gift, another has that. But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, and the other has gift. Now Paul comes and talks about that marriage is a gift, and singlehood is a gift. So, this is one of the most great truths and principles he's talking about here. After talking now about couples should stay together as a great principle, he comes and says, but each has got his own gift. Marriage is a gift. For one to remain single is a gift. For one to be married or deventry is a gift. If somebody who has a gift of remaining celibate or celibacy would opt for marriage, definitely that will not work. And if one who does not have a gift of singleness and has a gift of marriage would assume the gift or take the gift of a celibacy, that will not work. So Paul is challenging and saying, no, don't take each other gifts. Let each person have a gift. Now, to the unmarried and widows, I say, it is good for them to stay and married as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn in passion. Now, the number three gift, principle, he said, those who were unmarried and those who had husbands and they died, and it could even go for those who had, divorced here, but we'll be coming to that. It talks about widows here. He says it's good for them to stay unmarried. So Paul seems to be favoring singlehood here, but he's not commanding. That's the point we are making. He's favoring singlehood because and especially says if they cannot control themselves, then they should marry. But for singlehood, they say it's good, so that they can, so they're not burning in passions. To the married, I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from the husband. But if she does, she should remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to the husband. And the husband must not divorce his wife. Now, Paul now starts talking about the divorce here, point number three, that a wife should not divorce the husband, and the husband should not do that. But should the wife divorce the husband for convenience? It is called the divorce of convenience. She should remain unmarried. There are people who had thought, yeah, I'm so tired with this marriage. Even without a proper reason, for any reason that the Bible accepts, and you would give a divorce a certificate for any reason, and we'll be talking about this one as we go on, then Paul says, should you do that, remain unmarried. And so it will be good for us to realize that Paul is saying that the married can be able to remain faithful to each other in this person or in this society. And as we study, you can be able to deduce at least four principles that can support this marriage. Just mention, and you'll be able to take it to a highlight. Number one is that there's the principle of grace or forgiveness. Principle of grace for forgiveness in a couple. This is one of the principles that can help them remain faithful. Number two, there's the principle of authority. Who leads who? The man is the authority, is the leader, is the one who is supposed to lead this family. And number three, there is now the principle of intimacy. Intimacy is knowledge, not sexual knowledge and any other knowledge. And they continue to say, and the principle of support, of empowerment, is supposed to empower each other, and especially the husband should empower the wife. Now that's what Paul says concerning this, the state of married and the state of single. And he just began talk about the widow or the divorce. Father, we pray that you give us the grace to stay faithful in a culture that favors immorality. Whether we are widowed, whether we are single, or whether we are married. In Jesus' name.